Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefishore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Tanya is back from being a world traveler.
Whoa.
Tell us a little bit. Just a little bit.
It was amazing. I don't know. It was a gift from God. That's all I can say. I was able to connect with my spouse. I was able to be outside in nature all day, every day, and get to experience all the senses, which we don't really do very often. I mean, I'm not a garden person. I'm not outside other than walking my dog or different things, but just to be outside all day and smell and hear and be in God's creation, it was, my soul was overflowing.
I love that. I was watching you on Facebook and seeing some of the places that you guys are going and getting, you know, seeing some of your pictures look just absolutely beautiful. But I agree. I'm not like, you have to be forced outside to be outside.
These days, yeah.
Yeah, it's too hot right now, but you know, I tend it because I like only a certain temperature. It gives me a really short window. And then I'm like, well, I'm just not used to being, it's just that some, like some people are like, I got to be outside, you know, I got to walk, I got to do this. I'm like, well, yeah, no, it's good. But,
yeah. That's all I have to say.
Linda.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I was just saying it was good to see your face, Linda. I hadn't seen
you guys
it,
too. So I know. Nice. It has been a while.
Now, Trisha, your volume seems a little low.
You got it.
Just a little bit.
I'm okay, Mindy.
Yep. You sound fine.
Okay. How's this?
That's better. Much better. Better. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, okay. What are we talking about today?
A heavy topic.
Well, I just want you guys to just do it. Just go for it. Just start talking about it, because I'm not going to know what to ask till we get into it, to be honest with you. And I know you've created some material. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a 7-hour class.
And this is for the helper.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. 7 hours. How do you do that? Like in a weekend?
We did it one day. It was brutal.
Online.
Really good people that were, it was our first, we've only done it once because we know that we got some really good feedback. It wasn't really like it's too long. It was just, wow, we just need to sit with the material a little bit more in between some of the sections of it. So Trisha and I are considering what the, you know, of course we need to put this on video, but what would that look like in person? Because it's a lot. And you got to really tend to the learner, because they're sitting there processing memories and things while you're going through this. And they want to talk, you know, we want to give them a chance to share. And yeah, I don't know, Trisha, what do you remember?
Yeah. The people that were on it were so gracious. I don't think they were especially close to the topic. Like, I think they were familiar with abortion, but not necessarily about chemical abortion or abortion pill reversal. So, we started way at the beginning of everything. So
what kind of people were they? Healthcare providers or?
Biblical counselors.
Biblical counselors. Okay.
And then a couple pregnancy center people, but I can't remember even who they were.
And this training does what for them?
Well, I'll give you the little tagline here, but it's to prepare, it helped them to prepare to be able to provide acute care and biblical resources to a woman that's experiencing, you know, pain from a chemical abortion, and not just for the acute, but for the long-term care as well. So it's really setting up, you know, a timeline of care.
For staff, mostly for within ministry or pregnancy centers or pastoral care or counseling care.
Okay.
Right,
So
Tanya. Tanya wrote almost like 80% of this, so I'm just on the heels. But right, isn't it for that? It's to grow an arm of the ministry, whatever your ministry is, or just to substantiate your ministry in that way, right?
yeah. And one of the things, I mean, on this Zoom little intro you put is, we encourage people, they can be any part of the process too.
Yes.
Like you all, and even place would be a part of this. You might be the first one to get that call. We have three phases of the care, and it would, the first is the APR call when somebody calls for the process.
Now,
And
wait,
then,
let me stop you for
sure.
just a second and make sure I understand that. So they're calling because they've taken the abortion pill and they want to stop it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, so we start from the very beginning because when she
Okay.
makes that call for a reversal, she's already seeking help
Right. Okay.
in her heart,
Okay.
So we talk about all the way from that beginning of when she makes the call and all the way to her long-term care as an individual.
Okay. Okay, so just give us a little backstory about how you got this started. What was prompting this and
Well, for me, Trisha and I, we were working, together in the clinic, and we were beginning to look at offering abortion pill reversal, and we were working with a staff member who had had a reversal.
Oh, and how long ago was that?
12
10,
years.
12.
Is he
12.
12 now?
So how long is I did not know that chemical abortion is 12 years old.
Yeah, this child is currently turning 12, I think, this year, and he was the eighth baby that was saved from the reversal. So it was very early on
Wow.
that we were able to kind of walk through this unfolding new story with our staff and friend person
Yeah.
and friend, and just watching it from a ministry medical clinic perspective. And then once I think Sierra really dove into it after I left, much more than when I was there, Tanya just started. I'm going to speak for you, I think, because we've spoken, but that it would be irresponsible not to prepare staff for this kind of situation because it really impacts staff. We already know how. When a woman chooses to terminate her pregnancy, how that already impacts staff. And then how do we just say, like, how do we know what to do when she chooses reversal? And how do we talk to her? And there's some pretty big mistakes we can make in supporting her, not meaning to.
Right.
Things like being more excited about the pregnancy than she is. And then like throwing her a baby shower, making her feel pressure, or there's just all sorts of things that we inadvertently do because we're well-meaning, big-hearted individuals that love all things this life, but it's
And you feel
nuanced.
somewhat invested in it because you were involved in the reversal, right?
Definitely. Yes. So it was Tanya was seen and she stepped into also a little bit of an HR role at that time too. And she was like, whoa, we have things, parameters, and then also just counseling or advocacy that could be sharpened up that we just walk, just walking into situations that as many times in the pregnancy center world, back in the day, you guys would know it better than me, but we started out as volunteers, right? Like we were people who wandered in, stumbled in, bruised, battered, beaten, whatever it looked like. And here we're turned, the Lord has laid it on our heart to then minister to those who were coming behind us and more battered, more bruised, more layers of grief going on. And so she can speak to more feeling really responsible to that. And then just I think preparing our team, and then we can probably get into this a little more too, but clinics currently have women bring their babies to the hospital or the pregnancy clinic now, walking indoor into the doors of pregnancy clinics with their babies wrapped in paper towel or in a baggie and not knowing what to do with their babies, whether it's after a failed abortion pill reversal or a miscarriage or just a chemical abortion. And so we're in a different
Yeah,
era,
that's so true.
and we have to be prepared all at every level.
So just help me here, because I really don't know. When did the abortion pill come on the market for people?
Well, there are two different medications that have been around for a really long time. And I'm not sure who's responsible for saying, oh, we could put these two things together
Okay.
and end a pregnancy. I'm not sure. Do you know that, Tricia, where was
There's
it?
a history of it. It goes a long way back, but a French scientist really like in my memory, and you guys could do research on this, but I think kind of holding hands with Margaret Sanger kind of at that time, like it goes back really far, but they, just getting it, moving it inch by inch as they do. So it's been around and thought about and conceived, if you will, for a really long time. But
But
yeah, so
when
I
did
don't
the
know, like,
process actually come into play for women, where they actually started making a conscious effort to distribute it as an abortion method? Do you know when that was?
I don't know the year, but I remember when they were talking about it being sold at a kiosk in your grocery store. And I remember laughing, thinking, oh, that's probably something they do, but now they do it. So, and then that was probably 20 years ago, my own history. So.
Yeah, it said mifepristone was developed in 1980, and came into use in France in 1987. It became available in the United States in 2000 for
Oh.
medication abortion. So that's fairly
25
new.
years.
25 years. I didn't
Yeah.
think it was that long ago.
Yep.
Wow, I thought it was just honestly less than 10.
And combined with mifepristone, and doesn't really say when that happened. So if it became available in 2000, that would be a good thing to research, is when, how did they combine that? Because they were initially using it to, looks like, to treat Cushing's syndrome, or for use as a low dose emergency
Yeah.
contraceptive, which is same thing. Without the mifepristone, which would have the baby come out forced. So you're initiating a miscarriage at that point.
That just breaks my heart, and I know it breaks all of our hearts. I know it breaks your heart, and that's why we're here today, because you guys now are trying to prepare the helpers. So tell us, so you were getting ready to start to tell us, Tanya, and then a whole bunch of questions entered
Yeah,
my
no.
mind. So tell us about about this
Yeah.
training, and just how it's where the training, where you start, and walk us through it, I guess, and we'll stop you along the way.
Yeah. So I guess it was on my heart for a really long time, and I started to gather research, and Heartbeat International announced their abortion pill reversal process. They're the ones that really spearheaded, of course, the APR. It needed to be, in other words, controlled, but it needed to be managed in a way where people could come together and get the statistics, get the doctors trained, get helpers, and all that. But what I was seeing, it's everybody got really excited about saving the baby, which, great,
Is
right.
always what the
Absolutely.
first thing in pregnancy center work. Isn't that the
Yes.
reason when pregnancy centers first opened, they were always really excited to save the baby and then realized,
Yeah.
wait, some years later, we got to save the woman before we save the baby. Okay.
Yeah, so immediately, because I was doing after abortion care for women, those of us that are in that, we know, we think about the woman. We know by serving women in this capacity, we've heard stories and we know how they're impacted from that moment through her life. And I was just thinking, Okay, how are we going to care for her? So I contacted different people. Trisha and I interviewed an APR doctor who prescribes medication. She was like one of the first doctors. And we were asking her, well, how are you helping the women? And she was just, I
She hadn't
need
thought
help,
about that.
no. And then I asked our friend, I said, did you find any help? And she said, no. Remember, I went to you to take me through, after abortion care. I'm like, yeah. And then I realized that the abortion at the after abortion care program curriculum that I was using, the same as you all, is fantastic, but it's not that we're used to seeing women who've had abortions at least 5, 7 decades later, and not this acute care. And so there,
Can
it just
I
became layers and layers.
interject for just a second? And because I think I just need to clear some up in my own head here. You said that the lady, your friend, right, came to you for after abortion care, but she had her baby.
Yeah, but
So
she had
explain
made
that.
that. Yeah, so she had made the decision to
Okay.
abort her child.
Okay. And that
So there was
stayed.
still some guilt there.
Yeah, and that's very
Okay.
important with even abortion pill reversal, is she attempted to be an abortionist.
Okay. Now there's a another pregnancy center that a year ago, there's a nurse that I was talking to. She wanted prayer. She wanted advice from all of us. We were having a little Tennessee gathering, and talking, and she wanted to know, is anybody else dealing with these women that are struggling just with what you said? They made the decision, but then they changed their mind and their baby was born. Or they made the decision to have an abortion, then they changed their mind, but their baby didn't make it. Or they made the decision to have an abortion, then they changed their mind, and then the baby miscarried, or she miscarried. And so all these scenarios these women were struggling with, and there's probably some I'm missing here. So, okay, this goes right along with that. So when you're
Yeah.
just real quick, I just want to sidetrack for a minute because I'm just so very curious. When that woman came to you and you went through Forgiven and Set Free, right? Because that's what your book you use. How did you did that? Did any of the questions change? Did the perspective change? What was it that you guys were focusing on? Because the baby was there and the abortion didn't take place. How were you doing that?
Yeah, so you kind of leave out probably a third of the book because
Okay.
of that,
The
But
grieving part.
what's
Yeah.
beautiful about Forgiven and Set Free, it's why do you need healing? You've made a decision. Who's the character of God? So there's so much of that discipleship in there. And talking about anger, because why did she make that decision? So it's kind of like the front end is, I don't want to say the same because every woman's story is unique,
Right.
but she got to that point of putting the pill in her mouth and swallowing it, just like the other women who'd had, and processing her fears of why she chose to have an abortion. And being able to forgive people that needed to be forgiven and work through anger biblically. And then giving her that heart of gratitude that God in his sovereignty chose to help the reversal be a success and to not have fear. Because the one, like you gave all these different outcomes that you were talking with your friend. One of the outcomes when a child does survive a successful reversal is oftentimes the women feel like there's a ticking time bomb when there's going to be a learning disability or an illness or a disease that's going to pop up in her child
God punishing her.
because of a reversal or her taking mifepristone. That's not true, but there's, how we get when we have fear. It's kind of, it's irrational.
Well, we do that with
So
our own children after abortion.
yeah,
We have
later
abortion, then we
children.
have, yep,
Yeah.
later children. We'll do the
Oh,
same thing with them.
absolutely we do.
Okay.
So there's just so many layers to it that is really important for her, because we care about her, her soul, her future, and we want her healthy and at peace and living in freedom of her decision, and looking towards with the living hope of the future, either outcome. But in our friend's case, there was a lot to process, and really, this was so quote new that everybody was as excited about saving all the babies, and they weren't considering the woman as much to this level. And I was really getting concerned, and I was talking with Trisha about it and our staff, and I started to put some things together, and again, just reaching out. Nobody was really doing that. So that's where Trisha and I with Reproductive Loss Network, there is a real need. There's a gap here. And how can we help clinics and other helpers, ministry leaders, to see their part in this healing trajectory for a woman wherever they serve, that they need, that she needs them, she needs us. And it could be even the family members and the partner too in this
Yeah, I'm thinking
process.
about, we always talk about, shall I tell my children about my abortions? Well, this was even a deeper thing. Do you tell that child that you tried to abort her or him?
Did she tell her child yet? I know she's only 12, but she did.
Trisha, do you want to talk a little bit about that? I know that she's talked to you a little bit about that, about,
Oh, sure. As you're talking, one of the things that really struck me was how much she talked about, and you obviously would resonate with this, and is the secrecy and the shame that comes alongside. The minute a woman chooses to reverse her pregnancy, now everyone knows the very thing that she had been trying so hard to
Oh, that's
hide.
true.
And so that's a real, it's where shame is, Satan loves shame, it's like one of his favorite, I think. And so just her process of revealing and knowing that everyone's going to be mad at her. So it's one thing, not better or worse, but when we talk about people seeking healing decades later. No, this is something that you've thought about, processed, grieved, walked through, hid, tried to, in whatever it function in the way you can. With the reversal, I always say it's really interesting. A person tries to terminate their pregnancy. You have an unplanned pregnancy, which is sometimes a crisis in and of itself. They choose to terminate the pregnancy, only to turn around and choose life for their child, only to have their child live or die. So it's this excruciating decision-making process within a short period of time and almost no support, because she's not told anyone anything, and she's making these enormous decisions that do it. But what's really interesting to me is when we talked about, I had this written up, which I just really loved, our friend who's a professional in this ministry area now. She talked a lot about what happens when a woman chooses to reverse. We talked about the secrecy and the shame, but what happens is when she tells the truth, when she outs herself, if you will. My friend calls it, the woman goes into a mama bear protective mode, in which a woman who had previously rejected motherhood now becomes determined to save her baby at all costs. And she's driven to overcome all these barriers. And I think that's really neat. They found themselves at the end of the day, whether their baby lived or died, after having revealed and walked through this imminent feeling of shame, they then felt strong enough to overcome obstacles of all kinds because their babies did, which I just think is so interesting. One woman described it as moving from darkness to light, or viewing their babies now as blessings and miracles because they themselves had experienced a transformative, resilient, strong decision a hardship that they overcame and endured with courage, that they found empowerment in it. And defying the odds was always a comment that comes up when you're interviewing people who had the abortion pill reversal. They just find themselves so much more strengthened. And it's interesting, right? Because we want people to feel that way when they do, in fact, walk through after abortion care. Sometimes when we are doing that, we're 30 years later. So it's interesting with the person who's going through a reversal, it's such a short time before that's revealed and they deal with it. And then their emotional outcome is quite positive, generally speaking.
I mean, I have so many things going through my mind right now, and I really, really because our, we spent a lot of time talking about this, and I think it's good. And I really want you to walk through what your training is. But I do have another question, and I hope I'm not getting too ahead. But so just out of curiosity, just for the person that's listening to this and saying, okay, so someone comes to my clinic or calls me or whatever that is and wants help because they're struggling with an abortion decision, but their child is alive because they took the abortion reversal and it worked. How would you advise them to either alter their study and or have you guys, are you guys providing a specific study for that?
No, we're not providing as of now. But that would be a great, training or conversation to have is, how I was able to use forgiven and set free up to a certain point. And there's other things that are beneficial about not having fear, adding studies on that, her identity. Like Trisha said, now she is finding strength to endure all the things that she was initially fearful of when she chose abortion. Now she's conquering those fears, and people may or may not understand. And she doesn't want to stay, is it reticent, like silent? Like she was already silent about maybe the abortion decision from the beginning. But doesn't want to be silent about the joy or the healing she's experiencing now. So I think to answer your question, there needs to be more discussion about how to care, more practical boots on the ground to walk her through. I haven't seen that at all yet.
I love the fact that you've talked to some of the people that are actually offering the reversal pill, because just to make them aware that there's a need there, so that we can offer her that emotional support. Because she's probably thinking, I don't need it. I've made this decision. My child's born. I should be fine, which is where we are with abortion, that the world says you should be fine. And to just allow her to walk through that process and let people know to offer that is fabulous. I'm so glad your voice out there doing that.
Which
Yeah, I mean,
actually, not to interrupt this particular thing, but I think Tanya would agree that when we spoke with the doctor, the very first doctor we spoke with about it, she herself was wrecked. That she was and still is, we've talked to her several times since, she still is very impacted by this whole thing. Even though she continues to stay in and do the work of, but she it impacts so many people so deeply. Like there needs to be a dis that's why Tanya created, I think, the comprehensive idea of like, let's talk about it from all angles. Let's look at it from every aspect of that diamond and see what needs to be, polished, needs to be addressed more deeply.
Which is a
Yeah.
good segue. So let's try to, and I'll try not to stop you this time.
Yeah. So that's, a little bit about our training is that we use a term called the acute care gap. And if you think about it, like a soldier at war, and the soldier gets injured, it's in the trench. And we need to get that soldier to the field hospital quickly. And there's a team that's prepared and trained to do just that. Put a tourniquet on, stop the
Stop
bleeding,
bleeding.
those sorts of things. And not tending a little bit, eye contact, are you okay, breathing and all that. And then getting to the field hospital, and there's yet another team there that's helping stabilize. make sure that the body is at a place where it can be, surgery or whatever is necessary, and then getting to that long-term care. And that might be, going to like a Walter Reed, where now you've got physical therapy and you're learning to walk or eat again. And what is your life going to look like from now? So thinking, high level, kind of that analogy that this woman is impacted. It's changed her life. The injuries are more internal, than it would be external, like in war, but there's definitely an injury there to, her thinking, her beliefs or relationships and all these sorts of things. And then getting her to the place where she has hope that there is a future in the healing. It's similar in the sense that you I'm sure Linda and Mindy, you've experienced where the woman wants help and you're kind of now maybe in that field hospital, but she's not quite ready for that long-term care. Like you're just making sure that she's safe in her relationship, in her mental state. You're talking to her about what's her day-to-day look like, and you're kind of doing some triage with her. And then this could be the time where she's called and she's waiting for that next ultrasound to see if this progesterone is going to do the reversal. So there's a lot that's happening kind of in this field hospital. And then when she has the results of whether or not that child is going to survive and the reversal is a success, she needs long-term care either way. And what does that look like? So that's the acute care gap, is how do we take her from the trench to the field hospital to that long-term care? And everyone can be a part of that trajectory of care. And then, so that's one part of that acute care services. And then we talk about that timeline of care for her. That's a second part of our training where, Trisha, I don't know if you want to talk to that part of the training. You kind of debriefed a little bit on that about how we were helping our friend with, like recalibrating her story and things like that. I don't know if you want to pop in.
It's dropping out of my brain. I had other points I was going to make, Tanya, but
Oh, okay. Okay.
keep
Yeah.
going.
Well, keep going. Okay. I wanted you to,
You're
jump in
so
and
sweet.
yeah. And so, of course the, that part of it is, how are we going to care for her with her needs, tangible needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, and being able to refer out, and there's a timeline of care for that. And as we know, nothing is a formula or a quick and easy process. Is we're really staying tethered to her and listening to her needs. And I think the pregnancy clinics do an amazing job. They have financial help and referrals. They have education. So many, I mean, Bright Course is amazing. Maybe she needs to just learn some skills. Often, this is a time. And Trisha and I talk about this is such a ripe, appropriate time where a woman is seeing a pregnancy clinic or a helper as being the safe person they can talk with. And you can build that level of trust with her. And never would we want to manipulate her. But with that trust, we can now bring in the gospel. We can introduce more of these long-term spiritual needs for her and ask deeper questions now that the acute care is taken care of. And then, start talking about how is she going to enter into the rest of her life? Like, is she going to talk about this with people? How would she? Like Trisha talked about, our dear friend, this became a ministry for her. God redeemed it. She saw his healing, and she's now going around, the country as part of her ministry. And maybe it's not that for every woman, but we help others as we comfort others, and we've been comforted, and we can encourage that. But we may not know why this happened, like the loss and the baby didn't survive or whatever, but or why you chose that in the first place, and you work through, but God redeems, and this could be a beautiful part of your story. And then the third part of our training really is, like Trisha said, it's about caring for the helpers, caring for the physicians, the nurses, the receptionists, the staff members, because I think, Linda, you mentioned how pregnancy clinics get really jazzed about, APR. We dispatch prayer requests to donors and pray, 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 and everyone has an investment in this through
Right.
prayer or, donating so that women could get these free services and things. And they're impacted by the loss, but we want them to be appropriately excited and helping at the success as well. Because, like Trisha said, it could be super overwhelming, showering her with all of these things when she's still very much in the process. Like, I didn't want to be a mother. I've chosen to be, but I'm still not sure how I'm going to do this, and then also, just helping the helpers understand what language helps and what hurts in these ways. So that's the comprehensive, the three phases there, the acute, the timeline, and then
Do we have a percentage of how many reversals actually work and how many don't?
yeah,
I think it's like
I think
60%, 63% or something.
yeah, it was 63 to 68, Linda. So
Okay.
it's good,
It's a good,
really
yeah.
good. There's a lot of factors, of course. That's why we, pregnancy clinics are, well, I think it's one, I think, I don't know if it's NIFLA, but somebody's saying is to do these pre-abortion screenings, because if you can get women in early and give them the informed decision and tell them about abortion pill reversal, get that information in their lap. So they may be abortion minded or determined. She leaves your clinic, but she knows about APR. And I can't tell you how successful that is, where she's been loved on, she's been given the information, she's still scared, she starts it, and then she calls the hotline saying, yeah, they're right. As soon as I took that pill, I did not want to go through this. And so, having those pre-screenings is really important to be able to give her that information.
That's
So there's a
so
lot of
good.
preemptive care that we can do in the clinic.
So, Linda, do you have any other questions? Because what I want to do is, I want to just ask you some general questions about this for everybody to hear. But did you
Well,
have any
most of
other?
us listening here are doing some sort of Bible study or retreat or something. And I don't know how many of us have actually had this in our groups yet, but as we do, what pointers can you give us? Can we put them in with our regular, women that have completed the abortion and didn't try reversal? What can you give us to how we should approach that when we get women? Because hopefully there will be more and more of them.
That's an excellent question. And I know Trish and I have talked about this for a long time. Trish, please jump in, if you haven't some thoughts. I would not put a successful abortion pill reversal woman
In a
with
group.
those that was not a success.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
Yeah.
that would
Yeah.
make sense.
Yeah. I definitely know that there is advantages, or there's definitely advantages of those groups. I think there's a Facebook group that our friend kind of manages, to be in a group and help each other, those types of groups, either way. So I think working in groups helps with similar situations,
Right.
so if we could, get creative and create something out of the materials we have and the
Right.
wisdom we have and the experience we have, I don't think it would take much,
No, you're right.
to be able to minister. I know that many of your team could do it if that happened today, because, you're confident in the material. You have the experience. Yeah, it'd take a lot of prayer. But
Yeah.
together, When a woman knows that you're for her and you want to help her, and being that ministry of presence is so much.
You mentioned things to say and not to say. Is that
Yes.
something that would help us if we have someone that tried to reverse and wasn't able to and is in our group now? Especially what not to say.
And just a couple, we don't want to take away from your training.
I would say, just there's platitudes, because we get uncomfortable
Sure.
and we would say things like, well, you tried your hardest,
Oh, gosh.
you gave it your best.
God has a plan.
God, all those.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we have to acknowledge also that we talk about this in our training. It's a traumatic, if you will, death experience, especially if they've lost the baby. It's a traumatic experience where grief and trauma are having to be attended to at the same time. And so we can't just skim over the fact, either the blessing of them having a baby or the fact that they've lost a baby. We have the opportunity then to really talk to them about, in wisdom, and always, like we all know how to do that better, right? Like, we don't want to be rude to people. When you're talking about what to say and what not to say, don't be rude. And I've done this, so don't be, I'm not like, we say things off the top of our head sometimes just to fill a gap because it's uncomfortable.
Well,
But if we slow down.
don't you think we say things too because we generally believe that that's the right thing to say? I mean, out of a good motive of our heart, not necessarily
Generally
to fill a
speaking, yeah.
gap. Yeah, we just don't
Yes.
realize how it's hitting them.
But I think one of the things we have the opportunity to do is really slow down in these moments, right? This is what we talk about in the pregnancy center world all the time, slowing down that initial pregnancy test appointment, slowing down these appointments when the sacred really is hitting the world in a profound place for a person. So we do talk about one of the things that I think is so important is, and we just talked to some directors about this the other day, and certainly this is Tanya in my opinion, is that there is no other ministry like yours. We have the opportunity to, there's no church, there's no counseling. The pregnancy center ministry, the afterbirth care ministry is so unique in that we deal with physical life, physical death, spiritual life, and spiritual death every day, every moment of our
And
ministry. It's very unique. No one does this. No one does this in the same way. And so we have this opportunity to really enter into conversations where existential questions are being asked, and we can bring people back to the Word. Or to the Word for the first time, which you already know. So when we're talking about, what to say and what not to say, we being, all these words that the world loves is like being trauma informed or whatever. Yes, but when we're trauma wise through the Word of God, it helps us create that Christ-centered environment where women can feel Christ's presence and receive the gospel message while he ministers to their suffering soul. This is such a unique state thing. This is such a unique ministry where they can talk to you about their cramping, their bleeding, their physical ailments, their grief, and Jesus all in the same conversation.
What a
And then not,
privilege.
yeah, it is. It's a huge privilege. And not to like move that on too fast, but when we're talking about what to say and what not to say, I always do this super dumb thing called the three S's, which is you don't have to know everything. You just need to know a little bit that helps you move the person along to the next person who might be able to help them a little better. And so we always talk about the three S's being your referrals that are simple, solid, and sound. When your resource is simple, it's easy for you to access and for your client to access. And it's really important. Don't make it hard. You don't have to have a binder full of papers of resources. Just have three in your pocket, right? Just something super simple. Make it sound where it aligns with your biblical principles and where you want to lead the person to be thinking. So they need to be aligning with the Word of God. And then third is solid. Contact that resource. Is it a book? Have you read it? Is it a person? Have you talked to them? Is it a retreat? Have you attended it? So you don't have to have a lot, but the ones that you do, they need to be able to answer that your client's text or phone call. And you need to be sure that that's, if they don't, that you can get a hold of the person to be able to do that on their behalf. So there's like, we're always going to dig ourselves into a hole with things we say or don't say. But if we just have some simple tools, then we're pretty, we're more or better strengthened.
I like that. So, how do helpers sign up or people interested?
Yeah, is just to contact us, and that way we can learn more about their individual needs as a helper. And then we can talk about next steps that we can curate the training that's appropriate for the ministry or the pregnancy clinic or the church. Because, general education is really important on the front end, but there's some parts of the training that probably like churches wouldn't necessarily need to know,
Okay.
but pregnancy clinics must,
Okay.
so that's the one thing about the 7 hours of training is so robust that we want to make sure that the learner is enjoying themselves too and getting
Right.
the appropriate. So really just
Right.
reaching out to us directly is best at this point.
So through the website or through email.
Seems to be like counselors too, Christian counselors, like you were just talking, Tricia, about the counselors we're referring to. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had counselors that have been through this training, that we could refer to, that we know have that background?
Yeah, so who is this for? I mean, as a who is this for? We got pregnancy centers, churches, counselors, anybody else that we're not thinking of?
I think even a family member, really. That, because we've had very motivated family members at our trainings that are there to understand their loved one.
Sure,
And
that's
they walk
perfect.
away just, I had no idea. And that's
Okay.
what we do in that general. Like if a loved one has a diagnosis, an illness or something, we usually want to know all about it. Because we're, somewhat we're nosy, but no, we really want to know, like, what are they going to be maybe be experiencing? How can we tailor our care, be more thoughtful? So I really believe always everyone's a helper. Everyone can minister. Everyone's a counselor because the word of God says we are. We're to comfort others as we're be comforted. We are to share the truth that we know for the glory of God. So yeah, I encourage everybody. Now, it could be a little bit more at times of what you need to know, but I don't think that's at a disadvantage, really. It might
Wouldn't it be
even.
great if some of our Christian OBs were going through it too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be
Yeah.
fabulous. If you have any on your board or involved in your ministry, pregnancy center ministry, that would be really
Yeah.
great.
They may want to become an APR doctor, or they may want to be doing scans. They may want to expand their care because of the awareness of the need. I mean, when we look at over what is it, 63%, it's more now because that was an old stat, but it's hard to get accurate stats. 63% are chemical abortions.
Of all abortions.
Yeah, of all abortions, and that's like 643,000 a year.
Wow. So, how often do you offer this class?
On demand.
Okay. What's the cost?
Yes, it's not expensive. Our hope is that not only will people go through our 101 reproductive grief and loss training, which is really the foundation for this particular course. So once they take that, then we talk to them about what kind of progression they want. And then on top of that, alongside these two very long, intense courses, we have a commissioning program we just kicked off this spring. That you were just saying, Linda, wouldn't it be nice if we had counselors all over? Our goal this next year is to start building at least one in every state, a counselor who has gone through our robust training and has gone through, read a lot of the books and podcasts so that they are commissioned. So that people like you, when you do get into a situation, you think, oh, this is not really my lane, but I know where to go. You can go into reproductivelossnetwork.org and you can seek counselors that are trained in this. So that's part of our goal for this coming year. Our commissioning just kicked off this spring. It's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. So, how many do you offer in the class?
Oh, I think probably six, because we want to be able to have deep conversations. Trisha and I love being interactive in all of our trainings. We That's something that's very important to us. People have personal stories. They've been impacted. They might be impacted by just the intensity. So we don't want to plow through any of the material without giving, people an opportunity just to, okay, let's just have a moment. So I think six is good. It gives us that space to do that.
I always like six. Five and six is a good
Yeah,
number.
it's a great number.
Well, our time is done today, and I know I have probably a lot more questions in my mind. In fact, I know it. I don't know what they are yet, but I know they're up there because my brain's thinking, and I'm very interested about what you guys are doing. And it's always a joy to have you on. So thank you for coming on and spending some time and sharing what you're doing.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.